kingdom reigns. We know that our God reigns. He testified to the fact that our God reigns forever, forever. Your kingdom reigns.
Good morning. It is a good morning. Look at that. Look at that beautiful painting that God gives us every morning. Now, it might not look like that where you live. You might be looking at city streets. You might be looking at buildings. You might be looking at flat fields. But it's still a far better painting than any man or woman could do. And it's repetitive. It's like a cycle. That's why I don't understand. I don't understand how people could think that we got here because of an accidental big bang and chaos created order. Like, you have to ask yourself, what makes this happen every day at the same time? What makes the sun come up every day at the same time? Yeah, obviously, as the seasons change, your sunrise and sunset changes, but it's every day, all the time, for your whole life. Who is guiding that? Chaos, the big bang that happened 5 billion years ago, or whatever they say, that chaos, the nothing that created everything, is creating order all of a sudden. I mean, it's so crazy to me that not only do people believe that, but that they teach it in schools. So crazy. And my kids in school, they have to do oral presentations and tests on the Big Bang, knowing that it's crazy, knowing that they have to do it because it's state law. So if I was ever in Congress, one of the things that I would do is either try to get that removed or teach the opposite too. How can a theory be state law? How can an unproven theory with no evidence be state law to teach the youth, unless for propaganda. They should teach creation and they should teach evolution or teach none at all. Because there's far more proof and evidence for creation than there is evolution and the Big Bang. Mm. And by the way, that's not even what the show's about today. I'm just sitting here thinking about it, and I'm like, how stupid? How stupid are we as a society to allow our children to be taught things that aren't true, knowing that they're not true, but it's state law? Dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. But I digress. It is November 19th already. Hope you guys are getting ready for the holidays. It's November 19th, year of our Lord, 2024. You're watching Rise Up here on LFA TV. My name is Jeremy Harrell. And if you're new to the show or you're new to the program or new to the network, this show is my personal journey with Jesus on my way to eternity in heaven. And we're going to have some stumbles and we're going to have some fumbles. Not as bad as Joe Biden, but we're going to have some. And we hold each other accountable and we help each other out to come back when we kind of, you know, wander off astray. Lolo says we just have to double down on Jesus at home. That's 100% correct. That's 100% correct. Pull your kids out of public schools. They will get the message. Do you know that during COVID-19 and even after, the trend of people homeschooling or private Christian schooling is through the roof? Logan, you've asked that question 17 times now, my friend, and they've answered in the chat. I keep looking at chat, and it's the same question over and over and over again. Today's show, your gifts are not for you. Your gifts are not for you. So if your gifts are not for you, who are they for? Are they for God? Eh. Ultimately, yes, everything is for God. Ultimately. But we're going to talk about that today. So let me read for you today's description of the show. We're already at episode number 475 here on Rise Up. Logan, you're okay. I was just giving you a hard time. He left because he couldn't do live shows consistently anymore. Don't feel bad. That's just my personality. I'm pretty blunt. Pretty blunt and bold. Each person has a different set of skills or different gifts from God. We all make up the same body of Christ, but have different functions that our gifts can and should fulfill. These gifts are great, but they are not for you. So let's talk about it today. Please join in and share the stream for some new eyes and new ears. We love to have new people come in because this is how we spread the gospel, not gossip. And today's verse of the day is going to come from Romans. So if you want to open your Bibles up now, I didn't get a newsletter out this morning. I apologize. But we're going to go to Romans 12:3. Okay, that's what we're going to go through today. Romans 12:3. But till we get there, let's go to prayer. Okay? Lord and Heavenly Father, it is such a blessing to be able to find out what our spiritual gifts are. And for some, this takes 50, 60, 70 years. For some, they get it when they're teenagers. There are ways to identify our spiritual gifts. And we pray that today that you allow the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us through your word, through your message, so we can ultimately understand what our spiritual gifts are, how to recognize them, and how to apply them in our daily lives. And Lord, the further we get on our journey with your Son, Yeshua, the more we understand who these gifts are for. And the more we understand who these gifts are for, the more we can fulfill your role for us here on earth. For that, we thank you. Lord, we pray for people in the chat, people that are listening today live and who are going to watch and listen later, that they receive this message today and that it helps them on their personal journeys with your Son, Yeshua, as well. Lord, we are grateful for this moment in time. We are grateful to be one body of Christ. And we thank you for each and every breath that we take. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, we've talked about spiritual gifts for a long time. Sherry said, Jeremy, don't know how you do all you do for us. God blessed us with you. Well, I thank you for that. That's a really nice thing to say. Thank you very much. But today I'm going to show you or tell you or explain to you, I guess, how somebody like me can feel very different than you feel about me. I don't know if that's humbleness or, I mean, I would assume that's what it is. Or I don't know if it's, I don't know how to explain that, but I don't feel like I am doing what you guys are saying that I'm doing, if that makes any sense. Like, I have no problem taking a compliment. Believe me, I love taking compliments. Like, if somebody gives me a compliment, oh, you look nice today, that's like puff up my chest a little bit. But when it comes to, Jeremy, you saved my life, or you have no idea what you do for me or for other people, that to me, I have a really hard time, like, grasping, I guess. And maybe it's because I know the things that I do that are wrong and bad. But we're going to talk a little bit about that today. Jeremy, it would be pretty weird if you said, I'm awesome. Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess you're right. Well, I don't know. I mean, I say that about some things. Like writing music and performing, I say I'm pretty awesome at that. It's something that I just love to do, and I think that I'm really good at it. So I don't have a problem saying that. But there's something about, you know, real life compliments about changing people's lives that it's hard for me to accept. I don't understand. Logan, thank you so much, brother. That means more to me than anything in the world. Jeremy, please shout out my husband, Vin. Well, okay. Today is our 20th anniversary. God bless you, sir. I don't know how your wife has put up with you this long, but she says you're a blessing. So God bless you. And also happy birthday to C. Ward. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, C. Ward. Happy birthday to you. God bless you. Well, while we're waiting to get into today's verse, let me read to you first from Jesus Calling. Okay? And by the way, Jesus Calling. Sarah Young passed away, I think it was last year, right? And she's the author of Jesus Calling, Jesus Listens, and all of those books. The other night, when I went to that concert that I spoke with you about yesterday, I maybe have cried, maybe cried, oh, it's not my birthday till the 27th, but thank you. Okay. Well, happy birthday in advance then, I guess. The other day when I was at that concert, I must have broke down crying 4 or 5 times. And not like tears of like hurt or pain, but a little bit of tears of sadness, but they weren't, the tears that were coming for the most part were just, you wonder, why am I crying? Have you ever been in church or at a fellowship, a gathering, a prayer breakfast, a prayer group, and somebody is singing or somebody's talking and you just start crying? Or you're at church and the pastor is preaching and you just start crying? Do you know what that is? That's Jesus calling. That's the Holy Spirit calling you. In the name of Jesus Christ, representing Jesus in your life, that's the Holy Spirit that is causing you to cry. And you say, well, why is the Holy Spirit causing me to cry? Because you're purging. You're learning. You're taking in things. The wisdom that you are gaining is causing you to purge and cry. You might cry out pain. You might cry out tears of gratitude. You might cry out tears of joy. But that's Jesus calling. That's what it is. Plain and simple. Leave outcomes up to me. Follow me wherever I lead without worrying about how it will all turn out. Think of your life as an adventure. Think of your life as an adventure with me as your guide and your companion. Live in the now, concentrating on staying lock in step with me. When your path leads to a cliff, be willing to climb it with my help. When we come to a resting place, take time to be refreshed in my presence. Enjoy the rhythm of life lived close to me. You already know the ultimate destination of your journey, your entrance into heaven. So keep focusing on the path just before you and leave all outcomes up to me. Do you know what that allows you to do? It allows you to be free of guilt. It allows you to be free of stress and anxiety. It allows you to be free of fear and worry. And when you're free of all of those things, how you doing, Crystal? Love my sister. Thank you for the message at 5 this morning. Truly a blessing to wake up to that. And I appreciate it. What it does is when you free yourself up from all of those things, it allows you to shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. And that shining light is your spiritual gift. What is it? Do you know? I know what my spiritual gift is. Took me a long time to figure it out. But now that I know what it is, I'm refining it. I'm literally boosting my gift. I am literally taking my gift through a megaphone, if you will, because I'm refining my spiritual gifts, meaning that I am aligning what God has me here to do with my earthly, worldly, fleshly functions as well. So, if I have a light that is meant to shine bright, whether that be in public speaking, whether that be in, you know, companionship or fellowship or leading, whatever it is that my gift is, once I start aligning my life with God's intention for me, my gift shines brighter, right? You can't be a hypocrite forever and your light still shine. Sooner or later, it's going to go out if you're playing two sides of the fence. In order for my light to shine, my gifts to shine, first of all, I have to know what they are. And second of all, I have to rid myself of the evil thoughts and actions that I do on earth in order for that light to shine brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter till it's a lighthouse where people that are stuck out in the dark, deep waters can see it, follow it, and ultimately get to safety so they can start shining their lights. And one of those things that I had to refine is my anger, my judgment, and my patience. And now that I'm refining my anger, my judgment, and my patience, my light gets to shine brighter. However, I don't take credit for it. Not at all. Because I couldn't do anything without Jesus. Period. Through Christ, all things are possible. That is the only way that my gifts actually work. Do you know how frustrating it is to know you have gifts? I'm going to help you today, River Rat. I'm going to help you figure that out today. But do you know how frustrating it is to have gifts? Know that you have the gifts, but you can't amplify them and nobody sees them or hears them or listens to them? For years, I sat there and said, man, I am meant for so much more than what I'm doing. What is it? And until I found my way back to Christ, I had no clue what my gift actually was. I had an idea, and I knew that I could do things that other people couldn't do. But until I refined myself, they were going unnoticed. And they would have went unnoticed for the rest of my life. They would have went unnoticed for the rest of my life. So River Rat asked, how do we find our spiritual gifts? Glad you asked. River Rat says, I feel that way. Good. I'm glad you do, because I'm going to help you out right now. This is a really good video that you're about to watch on how to find out what your spiritual gifts are, how to apply them to your life, and how to move forward. Let's go ahead and play this, and then we'll come back to my notes, okay? Here we go.
Okay, so over the past several weeks, we've been talking about spiritual gifts, what they are, how they work, the different types of spiritual gifts. And one of the questions that you all continue to ask is, hey, all that stuff is good, but how can I discover my personal spiritual gift? So this is going to be the most important, probably the most practical video of them all. And so here are four steps that you can take, and all of them start with the letter E. And real quick, if you know your spiritual gift, do me a favor and leave it in the comment section below. Okay, step number one is to educate yourself. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed about spiritual gifts. And so the first thing that we need to do before we get into any of these other steps is to simply get into the Word of God and simply read through these different lists of spiritual gifts that are in the Bible and simply pray and ask God sincerely to reveal to you which gift or gifts in these lists that He has given to you. And so the second thing that you want to do under this first step of educating yourself is to take a spiritual gifts assessment. Now, if you've never taken one of these, or if you have taken one of these, I want to encourage you to go over to gifts.churchgrowth.org and take this particular one. I actually took it before creating this video, and the results were spot on. And what you're going to do is you're going to answer a series of about 108 questions. So you want to block out some time. You want to be brutally honest with each question. And after you do that, it's going to give you some results. It's going to show you your top three gifts. And then more importantly, it's going to going to show you how to use these gifts, and it's going to give you a good detailed explanation of what these gifts actually look like. Now, I do want to caution you that these spiritual gift tests are man-made tools, and so they're not exactly accurate. They do not replace the power of the Holy Spirit revealing to you what gifts God has given you, but they are a good starting point to get an idea of how God has gifted you. The second step on finding your spiritual gift is not only to educate yourself, but to examine yourself. And so here you want to ask yourself a series of questions. Number one, what am I naturally good at? Notice I didn't say what comes easy to me, because the gift that God has given you may not necessarily always be easy,
right,
but it is something that you're going to be naturally gravitating towards, something that you will be attracted to. The second question you want to ask yourself is, what have other people confirmed in my life? What are some things that other people have said, man, you are really good at this. This has made an impact on my life, which is leading me to the third question, which is this. What are some things that I have done that have made a significant impact on somebody else's life? The next question you want to ask is this. Do I get a sense of fulfillment whenever I'm using this particular gift? Listen, whenever I'm teaching the Bible, I am on a spiritual high because I absolutely love doing this. There is nothing else in the world that I could see myself doing more than doing this. So whenever you are using your spiritual gift, God is going to give you a sense of peace. He's going to give you a sense of joy, a sense of contentment, a sense of fulfillment whenever you are using your gift, which is going to be confirmation that this is the gift that He has given you. And then along those same lines, you may want to ask yourself this question. What are some things that I don't like doing? What are some things that I naturally don't gravitate to? Because then you can use process of elimination to try to eliminate some of these gifts off the list. Whatever your gift is, it's going to be consistent with who you are, how God has wired you, how God has made you, your personality, your past experiences. So it's important to take some time and do the work on this step. The third step is to experiment or to explore. Listen, in order for you to really know for sure that this is the gift, you got to practice. You got to try it out. You got to try some things. You got to get involved. And so if you are not currently plugged into a Bible teaching church, I want to encourage you to start right there. Get involved at a church. Go to your leadership and say, hey, I think I have these gifts, or hey, I don't know what my gifts are. I would like to discover what these gifts are. How can I get started? And hopefully they will plug you into some different ministries, some different service opportunities, some of which you may like, some of which you may not like. And that's going to help you kind of eliminate and narrow down which gifts and which ministries you're attracted to and things that you feel fulfilled in and which things you are not. But many spiritual gifts are not limited to being used inside the local church. So I want to encourage you, if you think that you have a certain gift, don't just wait for an opportunity that comes along in your church. Use your gifts in your relationships, in your small groups, in your family, and any other opportunity that you can find. And the fourth and final step is to exercise your gift. So now that you may feel pretty confident about what gifts are yours and which ones are not, it's time to fine-tune them. Listen, these gifts don't come out of the box ready-made. Even though you may have a gift, you still have to develop that gift. You still have to practice that gift. You still have to exercise that gift. You still have to improve on your craft in this area. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, he says, do not neglect the gift that God has given you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone will be able to see your progress. I want to focus in on the word progress. Listen, the gift that you have today is not going to be the same level of expertise that you will have 10 years from now. I've been teaching the Bible for 20 years now, and my gift today is much better than it was when I started, even though I had full confidence at that time 20 years ago that I had this gift. And so whatever gift God has given you, it's going to need to be fine-tuned. So I want to encourage you to exercise that gift. In addition to that, study about these gifts, read about these gifts, learn about these gifts, try to get your hands on every single thing that you can that will help you better understand how to use these gifts. And so the nice thing about this step is that it should come natural, because my friend, when God has gifted you to do something, you are not going to be able to go that long without doing it. There's going to be something in your spirit that's going to draw you to opportunities to use your gift. So number one, educate yourself on what the spiritual gifts are. Number two, examine yourself to see how God has wired you. Number three, you got to experiment. You got to explore. Try some things out. Some things you'll like, some things you won't. And then whenever you're confident of what your gifts are, go full force and exercise those gifts so that you can be an expert in your gift and you can give God the glory for everything that you have done. If you found this video helpful,
Now, ladies and gentlemen, how many of you have used your gifts for unholy purposes? Your gifts are your gifts. Just because you know what they are doesn't mean that you're using them the right way. You guys remember Star Wars, right? The light side, the dark side. Remember Anakin, who ultimately became Darth Vader? He had all the gifts in the world, didn't he? But what did he do? He used them for evil purposes. I used my gifts for the wrong reasons for so long. But it only takes you so far. And if your gifts are used and applied in the wrong ways, I promise you, you're going to end up hurting somebody, not helping somebody. That is what happened to me. I have a lot of gifts. That's not me bragging. That's me boasting about God. He's given me a lot of gifts. There's really not anything that I've ever tried that I'm bad at. I've been able to be good at literally everything I've ever done or tried. Sports, work, jobs, careers, whatever it is. That's a true gift. But if you're not using them to glorify Him and you're using them for your own pride, I can promise you, you're only going to hurt everybody, including yourself. And once you start applying those gifts for God, everything changes, man. And I mean everything. Plum trees don't eat plums. Pear trees don't eat pears. Apple trees don't eat apples. Strawberry bushes don't eat strawberries. Corn stalks don't eat corn. All they get is water. Because the fruit isn't for the tree or the bush. The fruit is for people who pass by. I want to just stop right there. All those trees, pear trees, apple trees, plum trees, strawberry and blueberry bushes, they don't eat what they produce. They are given living waters. And those living waters produce the fruit on those trees for people who pass by. Let that sink in. Let that analogy, that metaphor, that parable sink in. Your gift, if you are a tree bearing fruit, is not for you. Which is why somebody, maybe you, can be home depressed and yet be on the phone or online giving other people advice from the Word of God that can change their whole lives. Has that ever happened to you? I can't tell you how many times that I've been on the phone with somebody giving them advice that I should be taking for myself. I can't tell you how many times I've been online streaming and I get hundreds, if not thousands, of messages saying, the advice you gave me or the path that you turned put me on saved my life, saved my marriage, saved my relationship with my sister, my family, my children. And here I am at home going through the same thing. Do you want to know why? Because my gifts are not for me. My gifts are for you. To glorify God. I have been in that situation so many times. I couldn't even tell you. You ready for this, though? There is something for me. If my gifts are not for me, then what is for me? Before we get there, let me ask you. Have you ever hung up the phone or stopped a stream and thought to yourself, dang, I should have given myself that advice? I should follow that advice? Well, how are you giving advice? How are you able to feel that way at home, to be going through, if not just have gone through, the same thing that somebody else is going through, and you help them more than yourself? Has it ever happened to you? It's because your gift isn't for you, but there is something for you. In all of that, it's not the fruit. It's not the outcome. It's not the advice. Do you know what it is? Wisdom. Wisdom is for you. God gave you the gift and because you share that gift and glorify God, He rewards you with wisdom, which is better than anything on earth. That's why Solomon asked for wisdom instead of riches and everything else. All that came. Wisdom is the most precious thing that God can give you outside of life itself. So when your fruit is being bared, when you are showing and giving your fruit that God has given to you through living waters. And you might think, oh, if I give, I'm giving all this fruit away, I'm not going to be able to eat any. That's okay because it's not for you. Somebody else's fruit can be for you, but not yours. Your fruit is for others. What you gain in that is wisdom. Let's go to the verse of the day today. Romans 12, chapter 3. I mean, Romans 12, verse 3. I'll pull this up here for you. Give me 1 second. Perfect. All right, here we go. Gifts of grace. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members. And the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ. and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. The Bible says that people have different gifts from God. And that these gifts are meant to be used to serve others and bring glory to God. If you use those gifts for yourself, you're wasting it. You're just wasting it. That's it. It's that simple. Like I said, if it's prophesying, then use your gift according to your faith. If it's serving, then serve others. If it's teaching, then teach others. If it's encouraging, then encourage others. If it's giving, then give generously to help others. If it's leading, then work at leading others. If it's showing mercy, then show mercy to others cheerfully. James 1:17 says, every gift is from God. And 1 Peter 4:10 says, use your gift to serve others as good stewards of God's grace. And with all of that, wisdom is afforded to you, is gifted to you. You are blessed with. And wisdom is the only thing that takes an angry shoot off at the mouth, always have to be right, prideful Jeremy, to a patient, non-angry, non-yelling, non-prideful Jeremy on a journey with Jesus. Wisdom is what gets you from there to here. And wisdom is referred to as a person in the Bible. Like the Holy Spirit. What are your gifts? And if you don't know what your gifts are, that's okay. Because we gave you 4 steps on how to start learning what your gift is. Obviously, fellowship is important in that. Obviously, speaking with your church elders or people around you, Bible studies, men and women's prayer groups are another step to that. Obviously, reading the Bible, educating yourself, and constant prayer through the Holy Spirit is going to get you from there to there. But the 4 steps that we talked about today, or that gentleman talked about today, that's a great way to start if you don't know. Now, I'm not saying that I know everything that I'm here to do. I'm not saying that I know what's going to happen to me tomorrow. But I know how I feel today. I know where I am today. I know how I got where I am today. And I've gone from, I am meant for so much more, I just don't know what it is, to, I know exactly what I'm meant to do. And the so much more is not for me, it's for God. I'm nobody. I am, on earth, I'm a nobody. To God, I'm everything. But on earth, I'll be forgotten after a generation. Everything that I've done and said will be forgotten after my kids are dead. On earth, I am temporary. In heaven, I'm eternal. My gifts, if applied correctly, to give all glory to God first and me last, is not only securing my path to heaven, but it is building up wealth in heaven. Is the gift of giving your opinion a gift? To comfort and encourage, I would say, is a gift, yes. I'm just reading some of your comments here. Eileen says, I want my legacy to only Jesus. Well, you know, on my gravestone when I pass away, that's all that's going to say. I don't want you to remember me. I want you to know Jesus. That's what it's going to say. Remember what Jesus did, not what I did. Because the only reason I can do what I'm doing is because of what he did. Right? That's why you give glory back to where it goes. Tina says, I do tell the truth, and I'm usually blunt and hold no punches, and people get mad at me too. Same with me. Same with me. People say, it's the way that you say things, not exactly what you say. So I'm refining that gift. You can be blunt and at the same time have compassion. And that is something that I never married. I never married blunt advice with God's compassion. It was always, stop being an idiot. That was my advice. Oh, I'm depressed. Oh, you're depressed. You know that's not real, right? That's what I'd say. You know there's no such thing, right? That's just you being weak, letting the devil just take over. Stop being weak. That's what I used to say. I really did. But everybody's different. Everybody has different gifts. God drugged me through mud for years so that I could be impervious to things like depression and fear. But that's how I used to give advice. Nowadays, I say it like this. Instead of going, don't be an idiot. That's not real. That's not a good way to give advice, right? Nowadays, I say it like this. I want you to understand that what you're feeling is not real. It is the devil lying to you. And it is you believing the devil that you are worthless and that you can't accomplish anything. I'm here to tell you, it's not true. Trust me. I've been there. I know it. If you need anything, I'm here for you. But first thing you have to understand is it's not real. That is a different way to say the same thing. And when I was younger, I could never understand how people could be, you know, oh, I need to see a psychiatrist. I'm depressed. I have fear. I'm like, you're so weak. Cut it out. Anything for attention, that's how I used to approach it. But there are more than one ways to say the same thing. And like I said, if you use your gifts for your own pride, you're going to hurt everybody around you. If you use your gifts to glorify God, you are going to lift everybody up. You are literally going to put your hand through the water like Jesus did with Peter, and you're not going to let him sink. You're going to lift him right up. That is a huge difference. So let me leave you with this. Helping others. Be sure you do not do good things in front of others just to be seen by them. If you do, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Matthew 6:1. Knowledge makes us proud of ourselves, while love makes us helpful to others. 1 Corinthians 8:1. We all need help. We can't do life alone. And perhaps that is a great blessing to realize. God never meant for us to do it alone. He designed us to live in a community. Family, friends, church. Helping and serving to meet one another's needs. Lord, you promised never to leave us nor forsake us. Thank you for providing help to come alongside of me. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the message of the day. I like today's show. I think today's show was very amazing and very helpful to a lot of people. It was for me. It helps me make decisions that I need to make in life. It helps me understand how I need to approach situations with my kids, my wife, people around me, all of you, the devil that's trying to sling arrows my way. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. And remember, your gifts are not for you. They're for others. Mike Crispy comes up next, followed by 2 hours of Live from America. I hope to see you there. God bless you. Have a great morning. See you later.